Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Belanger, writer and researcher for Ghost Adventures. I'm an author, the writer, host, and producer of New England Legends, the television series, and the podcast. And I just love all things spooky, and I love that Sophia Temporelli has made it 10 years, a decade of broadcasting on liveparanormal.com. Congratulations, that's an incredible accomplishment, and please stay spooky, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. That's somebody else calling it on a different line in the other room. Yeah, congratulations, Sophia, on 10 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com. And thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of liveparanormal.com and History FM, for providing this format each and every week. And all of our moderators. Guys, thank you so much for patching us through. We had no internet feed at covering live events and things over the years. Thank you guys so much. Today we welcome OCParacon.com. Go to the site right now. But we're welcoming OC Paracon founder, 22 Creations multimedia founder, host and executive producer of the Geek Speak Show, Paranormal Perception Show, Henry San Miguel. So yeah, again, everybody visit OCParacon.com. ocparacon.com. The event's coming up here in the Orange County area, October 1st and 2nd. Also, visit paranormalperception.show, thegeekspeakshow.com, and Twitter and Instagram, paranormalperception1 and geekspeakshow1. Also, next Saturday, we have psychic author Sky Ray. She'll be promoting her new book, Find Your Voice in the Darkness. And also, you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have other guests booking their times, too. So, like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new broadcasters have been added to the roster here at Live Paranormal. And also, look at the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors and DVDs and lithos, things of that type, are all available to the members here. Also support the vendors here at liveparanormal.com too as well. They keep the lights on here on the network. Tonight, liveparanormal.com starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. He's monthly, Mondays, right here on Live Paranormal, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available on the homepage of liveparanormal.com as free MP4 iTunes downloads. And let's bring the host into the show here, the ghost host. Sophia, congratulations on 10 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
I know. You're doing a fantastic job. You're helping a lot of people. If you hear any echo, that's because we're broadcasting remotely from Grandma Josie's house because we're getting central air and heat put in. How cool is that, Sophia?
It's going to be super cool. I'm trying to talk low. I'm in her den, which is very echoey.
You got the dog in there with you and everything. Yeah, dogs.
Yeah, I have two dogs, but I have the escape artist. We tried to put her outside, and she showed up at our front door, so that's not really working.
Yeah, she's like holding a trout. She just spindles around and everything. But you got Instagrams, Twitters, all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, so tell us about yesterday, Sophia.
Today we welcome ocparacon.com founder, 22 Creations Multimedia founder, host and executive producer of The Geek Speak Show, Paranormal Perception Show, Henry San Miguel. Everyone visit ocparacon.com, paranormalperception.show, thegeekspeakshow.com, Twitter, Instagram, paranormalperception1, and geekspeakshow1. Let's welcome Henry into the show.
Okay, trying to unmute right now. There we go. Henry, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Sophia. How are you?
Hey, Henry. I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today, and congratulations on the upcoming OC Paracon. Can you tell the audience a little bit about the event?
Sure. Well, there's been a little bit of a change as of two mm-hmm. weeks ago, actually. It's a virtual one now. It was going to be in person. But the funny thing, it's actually starting to be more work now that it's virtual than it was when it was an in-person one, only because it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck for the team filming the virtual panels and getting it together in time for the first weekend in October. But what it was going to be, the in-person one, was going to be in Fullerton, still in Orange County. It was going to be a paranormal conference. A lot of the guests that you hear on the Paranormal Perception Show and some other new people that haven't been on there yet, they were going to be there 2 days, talk about anything and everything paranormal. And you and I, we've talked about this before, paranormal, at least with Paranormal mm-hmm. Perception, when I say that, doesn't automatically mean ghosts. They'll be there, but we're also going to cover UFOs or UIPs, as I guess is the correct term now. Other things like that. It's not just ghosts, although, like I said, we will have those there. So that's what the OC Paracon was going to be in person, now a virtual one, so everybody can go.
Well, it's going to be an amazing event, virtual or in person. I can't wait to see, everything that comes together with the panels. Like you said, the paranormal is so wide-reaching, and there's always so much to talk about, from UFOs to cryptozoology, to ghosts. I mean, it's such a broad topic with so many facets.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that, again, like I said, that's what Paranormal Perception, OC Paracon really was created as an extension of what Paranormal Perception is, because the show Paranormal Perception, it was actually born at a live event, during a live event back in Lake Tahoe, I think it was. And we've covered a lot of them. We've broadcast from there. We've recorded interviews at different paracons and paranormal events. And so, you know, this year, especially after the year we had last year, I figured, you know what? I think it's time for us to do our own thing. So that plan was actually to do it last year. But as we all know, 2020 had other plans for all of us. So we moved it to this year. But, things changed again. And, you know, now it's a virtual one.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting couple of years now. So hopefully, I mean, things will be able to get back to normal soon, but it's still great that you were able to adapt and, you know, still be able to provide an event for people who, you know, have an interest in the paranormal or in the paranormal, because it's just great to see and have people come together, even if it's virtually.
Yeah. And one other thing I should mention also is now, especially that it's virtual, because we had about a month ago or 2 months ago, I think, our exhibitor tables, they were completely sold out. So there were going to be a lot of vendors, not just the speakers. Now, they're still going to be there, but it's just going to be a virtual, quote-unquote, room. You know, just go. It's just links, really. But the good thing about that, going virtual, is that I don't have to worry about space now. So if you're listening, you have a paranormal business or you want to exhibit, quote-unquote, get a hold of me, go to the website, you know, send me an email there, and we can definitely get you up there. And the good thing is everything is going to be up there for the entire month of October. So, you know, everyone thinks, I mean, listening to your show and people that listen to Paranormal Perception, we think about spooky stuff all year anyway. But most other people, you know, comes October, that's when they start thinking the spooky season, Halloween. So if you have a business and you want to get free advertising, because it's not going to cost you anything to get that link up there, you know, again, go to the website, our website, let me know, and we'll gladly put up a link for your business or whatever it is that you have.
Absolutely. And I know we just talked a little bit about the OC Paracon, but, you know, let's get to know you a little bit better. What initially started your interest in the paranormal? Like you said, for people in the paranormal, it's not just Halloween time, it's all year round. What kind of led you down that path?
It was when I was 4 years old. I actually I had my first experience. I saw spirits. And before I say that, before I tell the story, I should say I'm not gifted. I'm not psychic. I'm not a medium. At least I don't think so, although I've met some mediums over the years that tell me, oh, you're gifted. Maybe not to their level, but I'm definitely sensitive, that's for sure. But it started when I was 4 years old. It was back in the house that I grew up back in San Francisco. I don't remember the time, although now I want to say maybe 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, somewhere around there. All I remember is the closet door was open and there were people walking out of it. They didn't look like monsters or what would you see in horror films. They just looked like normal people. But even at 4 years old, something told me something strange about them. That and the fact that, like, who are these people in my room at 2 in the morning? But, you know, being 4 years old, I got scared. Put the covers over my head, didn't come up until the sun came out again. From that point on to right now, really, I've never seen a full-bodied apparition after that, but I have seen shadows, I've heard things, I feel presences. So that's what really started my interest in the paranormal. And it's not a morbid interest, and it's also not a pop culture, like, oh, cool, ghost. It's more of a, so I guess there is something on the other side, and I guess we'll never know the answer. I know that until we get over there ourselves, but I've always wanted to know, especially as technology, you know, gets better, and we do have a better way of recording or shooting or capturing on film evidence that before was just hearsay, like, oh, I heard this, or I think I saw a shadow. Now, and you've talked to many people that do shows on that. You capture them on film. You capture them. You get EVPs. You get there is real evidence. So that's what that thing at 4 years old. I don't know. Again, to this day, I don't know what it was. If it was a ghost or maybe I was dreaming, but it felt real. But that's what started the interest in the paranormal.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible you had an experience at such a young age. I mean, it's amazing how those experiences really stick with you and shape, you know, people as investigators. I also had experiences really young, and, you know, it just really stays with you and makes you want to know more.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess it tells you what kind of person I am. Most people, most normal people, they would probably run away. Like, I don't want anything scary ever again. But I'm one of the few that, which, like you said, a lot of investigators started that way. Whatever that first experience was, instead of running away from it, we run toward it, kind of like, and I'm not saying we're anywhere to that level, but kind of like firefighters or you know, police, they run to the danger. That's kind of what investigators do. They don't run away from a scary-looking house or a dark basement. We actually run. We look forward to going there. We look forward to spending the night at dark, scary places.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing real life's not a horror movie. Otherwise, all of us would probably die first.
Yeah.
So we actually were connected through our mutual friend and fellow paranormal investigator, Jojo Wright. Can you tell the audience a little bit about how you know him and just, you know, how you guys realized that you had this shared paranormal interest?
Yeah, Jojo and I actually, Jojo from those of you that aren't in L.A., he's on KISS FM, a radio station. I think it's the number one music station here, but he's on there. Jojo and I go way back. And I hope he doesn't mind me calling him old, but I'm old too. We were back at a radio station in San Francisco. We were, you know, I was doing afternoons. He was the evening guy, and we met there. And we hit it off really well from the moment he got there, because I got there first, because I'm actually from San Francisco. So that was the first station that was my first job, really. So I was at that station when Jojo got there. That's when everything really changed, him and some other people that we had. And Jojo and I, we really hit it off because we loved pop culture. We loved the music we were playing, obviously. Mm-hmm. We loved pop culture. But the funny thing is, the paranormal stuff, we didn't actually connect through paranormal until I moved over here to Southern California. And earlier this year, I actually reached out to him, and we were both shocked that we both had a paranormal show, and we were into the paranormal, because everything that we talked about back in San Francisco, we talked about films and, you know, TV shows and music and, you know, life and everything. We never talked about our experiences or our interest in the paranormal. And so, you know, he's been listening to my show, I listen to his, and, you know, some of our guests go on our show and vice versa. So that's how we know each other. And, but like I said, it's funny that all these years, neither one of us knew that the two of us were just as obsessed as the other about the paranormal.
Yeah, and I think that's the really amazing thing about the paranormal is how many people have an interest that you may not even realize. I mean, you know, you just bring up the paranormal and someone usually has a story or says, like, oh, my God, I watch those shows, I'm interested. And it's such a small but large community.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you can – people see them different ways, the TV shows that are out there. You can see them as they're just fun shows, they're just entertainment. Other people, they learn a lot, actually, and that's actually their first gateway into the paranormal world, where you know, younger people especially, they especially if you grow up in a real haunted house, not the ones that pop up every October. I'm talking about a real haunted house that's got long history there, and you know, it could be your family, could be somebody else. If you grew up in that and nobody knows what it is, you don't want to say anything to anybody. You watch these shows, it tells you, one, you're not crazy. You actually are experiencing these things. Two, it actually tells you what to do about it. You know, like, you know, try to communicate with it, try to record it, try to you know, do this or do that. Yeah, those TV shows, they really have opened up. I keep saying there's more acceptance now of the paranormal, the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, we do have to thank the TV shows. The horror films, not so much. I don't remember if you and I talked about this before, but I've always said, and I've brought it up a couple of times with guests on the show, there is a difference between the paranormal audience and the horror film audience, where...
Yeah.
Kind of like what you said a minute ago. The horror audience, when they go into a haunted house, they want, you know, Jason or the monster or whatever to come out and get me, and oh, it's got me. The paranormal fans, they don't care about the Jason or mass murder. They want to know why. Why is he killing people? So that's the difference between the two. So it's a little bit of crossover, but I do see them as two completely different audiences.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a paranormal investigator. I love what I do, but my friends always make fun of me because I do not watch horror movies. And they're like, why? You're an investigator. I'm like, no one's chasing me with a knife. It's not the same. Not the same.
If someone starts chasing you with a knife in an investigation, you're running away. You're not going to stay there.
Yeah, I should be the first one out. I don't care. I'm leaving. I'm lazy, but in situations like that, you've never seen your tracks far before. speaking of shows, you do have Paranormal Perception, which I was fortunate enough to be a guest on. Can you tell the audience how that all came about and where they can find your shows, past ones and upcoming ones?
Sure. Paranormal Perception is on its fourth season now, and it's actually the second or third iteration. I mean, I've tried paranormal shows before, but and this one, Paranormal Perception, in the beginning, there was kind of a danger of going this way also, where it becomes too much like the other show that I do. You mentioned that at the beginning, the intro, the Geek Speak show. That one is more entertainment, more kind of like what you see at San Diego Comic-Con, where we talk about those things. So the paranormal one, again, because of my experiences, because of my interest and wanted to hear more from guests that have way more interest and knowledge than I do. The first two versions of the shows that we did, I don't even remember what they were called, really, honestly. But those two turned too much into another version of the Geek Speak show, and that's not how I see the paranormal. I don't see it as well. I mean, there could be some funny moments in investigations, but doing an actual real investigation, it's not a comedy show. So it didn't fit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until we started this one, the Paranormal Perception show, that it was more serious, because the co-host that I had on Geek Speak at the time, she had a lot of experiences herself, and we used to talk about that all the time, and then it was just natural that, you know, we looked at each other one day, like, you know, we should do a show where we're talking about this stuff. And we did that, the guests came on, and it became the same as the Geek Speak show, only in the number of listeners, but not, it wasn't like a comedy show or an entertainment show. We laugh. We're not like that. Even, you know, you've been on it. We're not dead serious the whole time. We do laugh, but we do show respect and towards the supernatural, the paranormal, whatever the topic is that we're talking about. So, and especially after last year, after, you know, once 2020 really got underway and the lockdowns and the pandemic got bigger and bigger, the guests started changing a little bit more. They weren't just investigators, they weren't just ghost hunters, they weren't just the TV shows that you see. I started having virologists, people that, you know, got behind the vaccine, the people that are talking about, like, what's really happening, with astrologers, palmists, those kind of people that really gave more insight, more, no pun intended, perception, a different perception on the paranormal. I mean, the name, totally by accident, fits the time we're living through, a paranormal perception. Paranormal seems to be, well, just look out your window. Every single day there's something paranormal going on, and it doesn't automatically mean ghost. It means paranormal. The word paranormal just means something that doesn't really have a scientific explanation. And a lot of the things that, I mean, the COVID-19 and everything included, they don't have a big scientific investigation. I know we all hear it, follow the science, but we get seven different versions of the same science from seven different sources. There's so much confusion out there. So we covered a little bit more of that. The listeners have really responded to that. So, I mean, I still covered, obviously, the ghost investigators, the ghost hunters, demons, all that kind of stuff. But it's more also into the real world things that we're living through. So that's how Paranormal Perception has changed. And everybody can listen on paranormalperception.show. I know it's kind of weird. Usually it's .com, but it's .show. Everything is on there. The current episodes and the last four seasons are all on there also.
Well, it is an amazing show. So it's great, you know, that you were able to kind of adapt with the pandemic. And, you know, it's amazing just the guests you get and, you know, the information you get with, you know, your shared interest in the paranormal. I think it's always great, you know, when investigators are able to come together through radio shows or events like you're having and just, you know, share experiences and hear new ones.
Yeah.
I know earlier, too, you were mentioning the Geek Speak show. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that and your work with San Diego Comic-Con and your interviews there?
That one, it's 11 years old now, actually, as of the 9th of this month. It's 11 years old. It's been going on for, like I said, quite a while, and it's that one hasn't changed too much. It's basically San Diego Comic-Con, but through your computer or your phone, however you listen to the podcast. And it's interviews with the movie stars, the actors, the directors, comic book writers, anything and everything that has to do with geek culture, you hear about them there. And I especially love talking to the independent creators. Like, yeah, we talk to the Marvel and Star Wars, all the big names, and that's fine. But I really, really love talking to the independent creators, mainly because they – literally our passion project, and you can hear that, the listeners can hear that. And if they're doing a crowdfunded project, you know, like through Indiegogo or Kickstarter, they really get behind them, and because they hear it, they hear the passion in that. So I love hearing all that. And now that I have the multimedia company, it can also become me a helping hand to them, where I can actually do things that they wouldn't be able to afford because they don't have a budget. Like, for example, if they want a visual effect of, I don't know, an explosion or something, the big companies, ILM and those, they charge you, and I've seen it, I've seen quotes, they charge you, I think it's $150,000 for like a 30-second shot. And a lot of people need like three or four shots, so you can imagine how much that is. So we have prices for independent creators, especially after 2020 when, you know, a lot of us took a financial hit. Not everybody has that kind of budget. So I started as a 2020 special where, you know, we cut the prices. It's actually been good, so I'm not bringing them back up. So I do have special pricing just for independent creators. So if you want to do, you know, web series, whatever it is, you know, we can definitely help you out with that.
Well, that's great. It is really hard, you know, to kind of put things together yourself sometimes. So it's great that, you know, you offer something that is, you know, budget friendly to a lot of people, and, you know, it helps for a lot of creators that just don't have a lot, but also, you know, have really great ideas. They actually want to get their stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, this is a great time to be a content creator because, you know, I'm older than you for sure. But the whole time I've been in this, you know, in radio and, you know, media basically from the time I was 10 years old to right now. And there has never been a time like this where the platforms are just, there's just so many platforms, and there's no excuse. If somebody wants to be a creator or wants to be a radio host or on TV or want to be an actor, whatever you want, there is no excuse for you not to do it. Granted, you're not going to get hired by Paramount or Warner Brothers or a big studio, but you can be, you know, again, these independent creators. They're, and for like what you and I talk about, what this show is about, paranormal, you can go do your own investigations and put them on a YouTube channel, put them on your TikTok, put them on, you know, whatever platform you use. So there's so many platforms out there. What we do is we don't do the whole work for you. The way I describe it is imagine a river flowing. That's everybody right now. There's so much stuff out there. But if you want to stand out, it's got to be like that trout that jumps against the current. We'll give you that little edge, whether it be with sound, with visual effects, whatever it is that makes it look a little bit more professional than the other ones out there. That's what will make you stand apart from everybody else.
Absolutely. It really is great, you know, that you can help creators with that. The internet is such a big part of everyone's day-to-day lives. And, you know, TikTok, like you said, YouTube, I mean, they are, like, huge. I mean, not, like, the world was, you know, 10, 12 years ago, they were so much smaller. TikTok didn't even exist. So it's just crazy to see how things have exploded and how much more access people have to create content and do what they actually want to do.
Yeah, if I ever want to feel really old, I always say, I'm sure you understand this. When people mention TikTok, I say TikTok back then used to mean the grandfather clock in your grandfather's home. TikTok is something that's completely different now.
Yeah, when I heard TikTok, I thought of the Kesha song, so I was a little bit behind that. Now I just think of TikTok. But yeah, I immediately went to Kesha's song. I'm like, why is everyone talking about Kesha? And I'm like, oh, I'm just not right. Okay.
See, when you put it that way, I mean, I remember the song, but when you put it that way, then I really feel old.
Yeah. I mean, I felt old then. I was like, oh, God, this younger Gen Z space. No, I don't fit in. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
The Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Our guest today, Henry San Miguel. So everyone visit OCParacon.com. That's OCParacon.com. And also, too, he's the founder of 22 Creations Multimedia and a host and executive producer of the Geek Speak Show and Paranormal Perception. So visit those sites, too, as well. Paranormal Perception, as he mentioned, .show. So that's paranormalperception.show. TheGeekSpeakShow.com, Twitter and Instagram, Paranormal Perception 1, Geek Speak Show 1. And it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files. And you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave. Yeah, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And unmuting you, Henry and Sophia, we have you back.
Hey, thank you again so much for coming on today, Henry.
You are quite welcome.
And sorry again to everyone if I sound kind of quiet today. Like I said, there's a little bit of an echo in the den where I'm at my grandma's house. Our house is getting renovations. So, yeah, sorry if I'm kind of quiet. But, yeah, thank you again. And, yeah, all the work you do is really amazing. I mean, you do so much. I mean, with the Paracons, the shows, I mean, it's really incredible. I do know, besides JoJo, we actually had another mutual friend in the paranormal who sadly passed away, Doug Carnahan. Can you tell us a little bit about the work you did with him and, you know, just how you guys became, you know, friends?
Yeah, Doug and I, we actually only knew each other for about 2.5 years, but in that short time, it felt like it was a lifetime, honestly. And we never told each other this, but I always saw him, I still do, even though he's kind of here next to me. There's a piece of Doug here. His daughter was kind enough to give me he was cremated, and I have a piece of Doug here. He's always in the studio with me. But I always thought of him as a second father. We were that close, because what I was always call him, obviously, about paranormal. That's how we met. At that event that I told you in Lake Tahoe, leading up to that, that's actually when we first met. And then we just hit it off there, and he actually became the Paranormal Perceptions paranormal consultant. So whatever I would say on the air, not the guest, but whatever I would say that wasn't quite correct, he would come on and say, no, 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 that's actually not how it is. It's like this, this. So that he was playing that role. But, you know, like I said, off the air, it was just really, really good. He cared a lot about my kids. He cared a lot about me. He gave me a lot of life advice. And he always invited me to every event that he had. He would always call me about any, you know, I have an idea for a TV show, I have an idea for this, or let's do that, or let's do this. There's a lot of things that we did. Like I said, it was only a short 2.5 years, but it feels like a lifetime with Doug.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing and so welcoming. I mean, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to his Virginia City events for many years, and it was always such a great time and, you know, such a fun event. So it was really nice that he brought people together like that, and, you know, just getting to know him was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I miss him, but not really, because like I said, he's always here next to me anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I know, like you said, you worked on a lot of things with him too, so it's really great that you're able to keep that memory alive just with the stuff you worked on together and, you know, all the stuff that you did with your radio show when he was, you know, presently here.
Yeah.
So I know you said that you went to a lot of Doug's events, which also had some investigations too for like overnights. Can you tell the audience about some of the investigations you've done and what was kind of the creepiest or most interesting experience that you've had during an investigation?
Actually, one was at last year's Virginia
mm-hmm.
City, the last one that Doug ended up doing. And I'd been there before. I was at the Bonanza the last couple of years because the original location literally blew its top, so they couldn't do it there anymore. But it was at the Bonanza, and we got there early. We were like a couple of days before the actual Paracon, so we were investigating with another team there, and Doug was there also. And I'd been there before, so I knew, you know, what it was about. Last year, though, for whatever reason, the spirits there were really attracted to me. The very first night, we were like on an upper floor, and then another team was on the main floor, and on their I think it was an ovulus or spirit or something, had something like, or it was an EVP, I think. They recorded. You could clearly hear my name calling Henry. Then when we were downstairs in the basement area, we started getting a really deep voice telling us basically, we don't want you here. Get out. You're bothering us. And then one of them pushed a little, and we clearly, and I wish I had it so I could have played it back for you on the show now. We clearly mm-hmm. recorded that voice saying, "Demon," and that's when we all said, okay, we got to close it out. That's it. We're done. Let's go. And then as we were leaving, the door actually slammed behind us as if it was a demon or whatever this was, this dark entity, as if to tell us, okay, good. Now, really get out. We really don't want you here. Just to make sure that we knew it didn't want us there.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, you know, when you have a spirit that wants you to leave. I mean, you can just feel it, and it's definitely interesting, you know, because as an investigator, it's like, okay, we're in their space. Do we leave? Or, hey, we're getting activity. Do we kind of see what's going on here? That's definitely a little bit interesting when ghosts want you to leave. It's unique for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool that you had that experience though, at his final event, and you know, it's just amazing the stuff you can capture on investigations. Where are some of the other locations that you've gone and investigated at?
The one of them, it is famous. It's the Winchester Mystery House. I when I grew up in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
I always knew about it. I'd never been there, and it wasn't until that station that JoJo and I were at in San Francisco. That's the station that we started doing Halloween events with, and it was at the Winchester Mystery House. I don't remember if JoJo went in or not. We were outside. We were broadcasting live from the courtyard area, so we were out there. And I never went in. It wasn't until I started doing the Geek Speak show that I actually went inside. The first time that I went in, it didn't feel weird or haunted. It was just an old house to me. The second time we went, though, that's when I really started hearing, seeing things. The first thing that happened, we're doing a big promotion with them. They had a, you know how they have the Universal Halloween Horror Nights over here? They did something similar. It's called Fright Nights at the Winchester Mystery House. And I think it was actually done by the same company that puts on the Universal one. But they were doing it at the Winchester. They did it for 2 years. The second year, we partnered with them, so we were having a big, you know, giving away tickets and all kinds of stuff. So we were out there pretty much every night. One of the nights that we went out there, there's one room where I think it was a guest room, and it had the old, I don't even know what you call them, the record player. Remember the one that has like the big shell speaker?
Yeah.
If people can picture that in their minds. There's something kind of looking like that at one of those rooms. So when we walked in there, I clearly heard, and I wasn't the only one. Everybody else heard it, so I knew it wasn't just me. We clearly heard that, you know, when you put the needle on the record, that we heard that, and we didn't think anything of it because the record player is there. Until it hit, it's like, wait, why would that record player be playing now? Nobody's here. And then we asked one of the tour people and said, is that thing plugged in? Said, no, it doesn't even have a cord. There's no electricity in this section of the house. So it had stopped by then. It was like, oh, okay. Then we heard a piano playing, and then we were moving up towards the top of the house, and we heard it again. And several times, several members of the team, they swore they saw a shadow. They said a short lady walking by. Now, those of you that may not know, Sarah Winchester, she was, I think, 4'10" or 4'11".
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm not saying it was Sarah Winchester, but everybody kept saying it's a shorter lady walking by. They couldn't see her clearly. She was just like wearing a black veil is what they were saying. Everybody agreed on that. It was a black veil. She was wearing a black veil. And those are the pictures that we've seen of Sarah Winchester. I didn't see any, but I heard everybody else saying, oh, I saw her. But we kept hearing that piano. And then when we got towards the end of the house, I asked one of the tour guides, I said, is there a piano anywhere on this house? And he said, actually, there's three. And he said, do the keys work? And he said, no, none of them are in sections where the guests can get to them. They're like, you know, broke off. So we kept hearing that. Then another time, it wasn't part of this thing, but this is like a couple of years after that, we went there just on a tour because I like going there just because that's just the kind of person I am. I like going to paranormal stuff. So we were just taking the tour, and my family was a few steps ahead of me. The next group was behind us, and like in another room. So I was the only person in one section. I felt someone tap me on the shoulder twice. First time, okay,
wow.
Maybe it was just me. I thought I felt something, but two times, it was for real. And then was that it? I think that was it. But you know, I never thought it was haunted. But those experiences told me that, yes, it is, actually. It is haunted.
Well, those are really cool experiences to have, especially at such an iconic location as the Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I didn't realize how small, you know, the Winchester lady was. I'm sorry, I forgot her first name. But, yeah, she was really small. So, I mean, I would stand to leave if you saw the spirit that small that it could possibly be her. And it's great that, you know, you had that group confirmation as well, of everyone seeing at least a woman in a black veil.
But you've been there, right, Sophia?
No, I haven't. I would love to go there. I drove past it on my way to San Francisco and Monterey, but I've never actually been inside.
Yeah, well, if you ever do go, you'll know she was short because everything is tailored to her size. If you're anything above 5 feet anything, you got to duck down because you're gonna hit your head on everything. So it was built for her size.
Little stairs.
You can tell she was short.
Yeah, those little tiny stairs.
Yeah,
my parents had been there before I was born, so you know there was plenty ahead doing all the fun things before I come up. But yeah, ducking is not fun. So you can definitely tell that it was tailored for her, and she made sure that everyone knew when they kept building. But that is really cool. What locations have you not been to that you would love to investigate?
Waverly Hills. We actually had a reserved last year, but you know, again, everybody knows what 2020 is, so that's we couldn't go. We're going to shoot something actually, a TV pilot there, but because of 2020, mm-hmm. we couldn't. So I was actually more excited about not the pilot, but about the fact that we were going to shoot there, because I've you know, I've seen it on Ghost Adventures and other shows, and I heard people talk about it. In fact, the co-host, the one that came up with the name Paranormal Perception, she lives right around the corner in Louisville from Waverly, and she's always heard stories about it there. So we were excited to go, but not yet. But soon, we'll go back.
Yeah, Waverly is such an amazing location. I would love to go there someday. I mean, there's so many, like, just really awesome locations out there, and so many that people haven't investigated or discovered, too, which I think is the really cool thing about the paranormal and just, you know, going out there and investigating. Like you said, it has been hard in 2020 to do all of that with COVID, but it's still just really cool, you know, to see when things do go back to more normalcy, how the activity will change, if things will be more active. I mean, what's it going to be like post-pandemic?
Yeah, well, actually, you just gave me an idea. Since you said you want to go there also, maybe when it's, you know, when we can go out there, maybe you should be part of this TV pilot at Waverly.
Yeah, it would be awesome to investigate there. I nation with abandoned asylums and jails and stuff. I don't know. I think the creepier the better. But I hate spiders, so it's like a weird contradictory thing.
Do you, with asylums, do you see them as haunted, or is it more like, I don't know what the word cursed would be, I guess, or just the energy that's there from everything that went on in the asylums?
Oh, gosh. I think it's a combination of residual energy and intelligent. I think that when you have so many deaths in a place, to assume that it's all residual would be not correct, but to assume it's all intelligent wouldn't be correct either, because, I mean, when you have so many deaths, there has to be some intelligent hauntings there. But also when you have so many people going back and forth, in and out, doing the same routine every day, I think that does leave an imprint and some form of residual energy that's there too. So I think it's probably 50-50 from something that has kind of been imprinted on the location, but also all the dark tragedies that have happened there.
Yeah, unless you have another question, when you said you went to San Francisco, have you gone to Alcatraz?
No, my aunt took me to San Francisco. I was on college tours, and I also went when I was little. She took me to the Ghirardelli Factory. When we went to Monterey, we stayed in this, like, really creepy bed and breakfast, and I was like, hey, is it haunted? I asked the, like, owner that, and she, you could see her whispering to him, don't even, like, encourage this. So, yeah, I mean, she would take me to Alcatraz for educational reasons, but I was like, Mina, I've never been there. She's like, no, I took you. I'm like, no, you didn't. And she's like, oh, well, the tours are booked up. I'm like, oh, man. My parents spent the night there, though, so I'm still a little bitter about that.
Yeah, because, again, growing up there, I remember going there when I was younger, but it never, and I didn't know the story, the haunted stories of Alcatraz, but I saw it as spooky because, you know, it's a jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they still do it, but I remember one part of the tour, I think it was towards the bottom somewhere, but they would actually lock you in a cell. It was and so they would not like mm-hmm. all night, but like for a few minutes, so you could experience what the inmates experienced. But even with that, it wasn't scary. I haven't gone back since. So I don't know if it's actually haunted or not. But I know a lot of people say it's one of the most haunted places in America. Alcatraz.
Yeah, my dad caught a really amazing photo of us. Like a ghost, a full-bodied spirit down, I think, D block? I don't remember, because I wasn't there. But, yeah, it's just really crazy.
Yeah, the infirmary, yeah.
There you go. But it's amazing, too, you know, just with all the history and paranormal activity at Alcatraz, too, to see it, I think, live on for younger generations, too, with you know, Call of Duty Black Ops has Alcatraz map, Mob of the Dead. You have it in Call of Duty Black Ops 4 with Blood of the Dead. You have it in a Scooby-Doo episode, the San Fran Psycho. So it's just really amazing, too, to just kind of see, I think, how unique locations like Alcatraz really, I think, bring the paranormal to the younger generations. I know you have kids. Do they have any interest in the paranormal, or, you know, what would you want to pass down to them if they did, like, knowledge-wise?
They do, but I think it's only because of dad, meaning, should say my we've noticed my daughter, she's 14 now, but my daughter, she always has been sensitive. I don't know if she's gifted. I actually haven't asked, like Patty Negri. She's been on your show and on my show. She's a good friend. I haven't asked her anything. But my daughter, she's really sensitive to, but I remember when she was younger and you know, the saying kids can see spirits. She used to say, there's a little boy that I play with and there's this, I saw this person, or she saw a picture move. So, and she doesn't say it too much to now, she gets older, but she, when we do go out to different events that we do through Paranormal Perception or other shows, I have noticed she does kind of tend to stay back a little bit. She'll help, you know, if you have to shoot something or with whatever, she'll help with that. But if she doesn't have to, she'll stay behind. I think, yeah, I've never really pushed her, but I think it's because she does sense things, she does see things, and she's a little bit afraid. So, you know, that's a talk that I have to have with her. My son, he just thinks it's the coolest thing ever. I mean, he's helped me, you know, film a lot of TV shows and some other things. So, and he's actually been, not attacked, but we don't know what it was really to this day, but there was we have it on film, there was a huge bang. We heard a growl on our end, and there was a big bang over on their side, like some big, huge metal thing fell down. You would have thought he would run away, drop the camera. He didn't. He just stayed there and, like, kept the camera focused perfectly. I mean, he thought it was the coolest thing. Like, so I guess he likes it in the end.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, you know, why your daughter would be kind of freaked out. I mean, the paranormal is interesting, but it can be scary at times, especially for young kids. But it's great that they have you to kind of walk them through that and, you know, nurture or at least help their interest in the paranormal. I do know we're coming towards the end of the show, though. Are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events you would like to mention?
Well, the biggest one, obviously, is OC Paracon, why you invited me on here. And that one, like you said, it's October 1st and 2nd. And really, that's when it's going to debut, the panels. But everything is going to stay up there for the entire month of October. The vendors, the virtual panels, and I mentioned Patty. Patty's going to have one. Jeff Dwyer, Paraflix will have one. Vernon Mahabal, he's a palmist, Haunted Orange County, Paraflix will have one. There's a new group that I found, I don't know if I told you about them, they're called Unearthing the Supernatural. It's a team of Native American investigators. They are phenomenally gifted, and they're phenomenal at what they do. They're going to have a panel also. They're really good friends now. All of that, again, on ocparacon.com. The show itself, Paranormal Perception, that one, every Friday is a new episode, paranormalperception.show. And the other one, the Geek Speak Show, that one actually is on a little break right now, only because it's, like I said, it's all hands on deck to get the virtual panels together for before October. So I'm giving that one a break. So, but you'll hear past interviews. Just go to geekspeakshow.com for that one.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Henry. It's been great talking to you as always. Everyone, make sure to check out the Paranormal Perception, the Geek Speak Show, and the OC Paracon. Going to be a great event, and thank you again so much for coming on today. I would love to have you back on in the future, and anytime you need to promote anything.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Henry. Well, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Henry was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening today. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, and it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And Henry San Miguel, he's the founder of the OC Paracon. So visit ocparacon.com. That's ocparacon.com. And as well on Twitter and Instagram, Paranormal Perception 1,
Geek Speak Show 1, also the geekspeakshow.com, as you mentioned, and paranormalperception.show. Next week, it's going to be Sky Ray promoting her new book, Find Your Voice in the Darkness. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. It's a Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie Francion, Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.